The second reading follows on Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They say, "He set others, let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminals rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise."
Well, everything has been leading up to this point when the Son of God is crucified. Hearing, as we just did, the mockery from the people and the rulers and the soldiers and the first criminal beside him, it's just so awful, isn't it, really? And yet, the cross reveals how God saves us from judgment. Now, how does it do it? Well, we heard it in three words, twice. "Father, forgive them." And "Jesus, remember me." Father, forgive them. These three words reveal God's heart towards sinners. Some time ago, I was driving and I came up to one of those level crossings we have in Adelaide. It was at Goodwood. And maybe if you like have done this like me, you're perhaps going a little faster than you probably should have. When you hear the first ding, 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 you have only a split second to decide, really, do I speed up and try and get over, or do I brake hard and skid a little bit, or I brake hard. And I broke hard, and then the front wheels of the car kind of went over the line that you're meant to. And there was a camera. Flash! Caught. So frustrating. All right. So anyway, so I was there and I had an uneasy feeling about it, but I thought, surely they're not gonna find me. I mean, only my front wheels were over, weren't they? And I stopped. That's the whole point of it. I stopped. The car was stationary, the camera would testify. Anyway, I tried to discount it, minimise it, got on with my life. And I'd wonder occasionally, the thought would pop into my head, is it going to come back to bite me? But I just kept going on with my life, and it was pretty soon I forgot about it, and until the letter came. And it was a really big fine. So how did I react? Well, I got all self-righteous about it. I knew my front wheels were over that, so I followed the link, the online link. You know, see the photo, that'll show them. So, yeah, like both wheels, like both sets of wheels right over. Yeah. So I was done. So there you go. Now, this happens all the time with us and God, don't we? We do what's wrong, and we think we're fine, although there's a part of us which says, you know, which might wonder. We tell ourselves it'll be okay. And mostly we forget, the blessing of forgetfulness. Except in my case, I was caught out and I was proven guilty and I had to pay the fine. Lucky I could. The problem with God is we cannot pay the fine. So where does that leave God and me? Where does that leave God and you? You see, what is God's heart towards guilty sinners? Now, Jesus, as the Son of God, praying to his Father, he reveals God's heart towards sinners. And he says it in three words. He says, Father, forgive them. And he said it while he was on the cross. You hear Jesus' heart? He's not against us. He is for us. His heart is for sinners to be forgiven. And that includes what the soldiers, Pontius Pilate, the Jews who falsified charges, and it includes, well, you and me, all humanity, since he actually went to the cross to pay for our sin, the debt we could not pay. Because that's what he was doing. He was paying the debt. Now, I would hazard a guess that if all of us were brutally honest, we might come away from today and think, you know, the cross was meant to be my payment for sin. However, I don't think my sin is so bad as to deserve such a bigger punishment. Well, how little do we know? Do you hear Jesus' words? Father, forgive them. Why? Because they do not know what they are doing. Of course, they knew that they were having Jesus crucified, but they didn't know that what they were doing was crucifying the one who was God's Son, who was God's Messiah. They didn't know that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have mocked him so much. But the mocking kind of only added to their guilt. They were guilty sinners. You know, when we sin against God, we actually don't know the depth of what we're doing. Jesus does. But even then, can you hear what his heart cry is for us? Father, forgive them. So I want you to imagine a line, right? A continuum. This is the knowledge of what we're doing line, okay? Up this end are people who think that what they're doing is never sinful. Now, what's Jesus' heart for you? Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. And at the other end are those of us who think we're so bad, we cannot possibly be forgiven. We are too guilty, we're too bad, we're too inconsistent, we're too ungrateful, we're too selfish. In three words, what is Jesus' heart to you? Father, forgive them. Forgive them. He's a heart towards you and me. Now, how should we respond? Well, here's the second three words, and they are from this man who is the thief on the cross beside Jesus. And his words were, Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. What's that mean? Well, he's speaking, it's amazing, his his understanding. He's speaking about what will happen to him after death. He wants to make it into the kingdom of God. And the wonderful thing about this guy is we know for certain that he made it because we heard it from Jesus' own lips. Today you will be with me in paradise. So even though he was a criminal, even though he's been crucified for the wrong he'd done, according to Jesus, this man, we know for sure, is right before God. And so this man can teach us how to respond to Jesus rightly. When the other criminal on that side joined in the mocking of Jesus, this man said, "Don't you fear God?" Now, when you stop and think of it, that's a very interesting thing to say, given he's already been crucified. It's like he's saying, "Don't you realize that something worse could happen?" What's he talking about? A judgment by God beyond death. What does this guy know? He knows that there is a judgment beyond death he needs to be saved from. He knows he cannot save himself. He can't rely on his record of doing good. He hasn't done any good. That's why he's getting crucified. He says it from his own lips. We are getting what our deeds deserve. So he can't save himself, but he knows that Jesus is innocent. He says, "This man has done nothing wrong." And so he looks to Jesus for Jesus to help him after death. He says, "Jesus, remember me. Remember me." Not like, "Oh yeah, I forgot about that guy, but yeah, when I was crucified, I'd forgotten it. There was that guy, he stuck up for me, nice guy." No, no, no. "Remember me. Take pity on me. Have mercy on me. Don't let me get punished for what my deeds deserve. Look kindly on me with your grace and favour." And he asks this because, remarkably, when everyone else in the scene gets Jesus wrong, he has the prescience to see Jesus right. He recognises Jesus as the King of the Kingdom of God. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." In other words, he says, it's Jesus who has authority to allow him entrance. Guess what? It's not St. Peter at the pearly gates. It's Jesus. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, you and I have heard Jesus' heart towards sinners. We know that Jesus wants to forgive this man, and indeed every person who prays to him, including every person in this building this morning. So Jesus says to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Here's the cross revealed in three words twice. "Father, forgive them." "Jesus, remember me." That's what the cross is about. It's good. And then Jesus dies. Karen is going to come to bring us our third reading.
And the final reading is from Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to 56. "Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth and placed it in the tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment."
How can you or I know for sure that if we who are sinners ask Jesus to remember us, that he will? How can we know for sure? You might say, his heart to forgive. How do we know that that's enough? That when we finally stand before him, our guilty record won't come out and condemn us at the last moment? Well, you might say, the cross. How do we know that the cross worked for us? That the death of one man on the other side of the planet 2,000 years ago still is effective for us today into eternity? How do we know? What is our assurance? Three words. Now, you didn't just hear them because it was in the bit between the two readings. It was said just after Jesus expired and died. As Jesus breathed his last, the centurion at the cross, seeing what had happened, said, "Surely this man was a righteous man." He's totally righteous. Jesus, the righteous man, died for us on the cross. And by doing so, he bonded himself with sinners. We bond ourselves to him through faith on the cross. Jesus bonded himself to us. Now, that bond, that union means that when God looks at us, he no longer sees us by ourselves. He sees us united to Christ. He cannot see us separately if we are bonded to him. He sees us through the lens of Christ, the righteous one. Now, this is impossible to illustrate, but I'm going to try. And another magic trick, which might work. And you have to use your imagination. All right. Now, here is a normal glass bottle. Excuse me for making that noise. Normal glass bottle. The cap has been taken off. Now, how could you put the bottle cap into the bottle? Well, you can't unless you were to take it. If I push it in my pocket, I've bent it. That would work, okay? There we go, and it's out with a bit of extra. Okay. All right, that's not remarkable. In through the opening, out through the opening. But I want to try and illustrate how us becoming united with Christ to being in him, well, I want to use this bottle and this bottle cap. I told you have to use your imagination, all right? Christ, us. All right, ready? I told you it might work. It's worked. It's worked. Right. Well, there you go. All right. The cap is in the bottle. In this mind-bending illustration of what happens when a sinner turns to Jesus in faith, you now understand perfectly, we are in him. Okay. So that when God looks at us, he only sees us through Christ because we're in Christ. And Christ is the righteous one, meaning that Jesus' death counts for everyone who is in him. So Jesus, the righteous one, when he died, he paid the punishment for our sin, meaning we no longer have a record of sin against us. But also, God sees us in Christ, when with Christ's righteousness surrounding us. Now, you might say, well, yeah, I know that, but I still have a question of assurance, because what happens if there's sin still in our life after we have bonded ourselves to him in faith? Will our later sin in our lives as Christians separate us from Christ, break the bond, you know, so that we could slide out. No. When Jesus Christ, the righteous one, went to the cross for us, his union, watch, with us, became like this. There is no way that bottle top is coming out of that bottle. Yay, it worked. All right. Now, if you're wondering how did I do that, don't get distracted because I'm not going to tell you. So there we are. But it's a real glass bottle. Okay. That was a trick, a cheap trick. Our union with Christ on the cross through faith is no trick. It's no trick. The centurion said, surely he was a righteous man. He is our assurance. The death of the righteous one pays for our sin. His righteousness becomes ours. And Jesus being righteous means that death could not hold him. He rose, and so will we in him. What makes Good Friday good? Three words. Weep for yourselves and need to be saved. Father, forgive them. God's heart towards sinners. Jesus, remember me. How we respond to Jesus. And our assurance? Because the one who died for us to bear our sin was and still is a righteous man. It's good. Father in heaven, we praise you for the goodness of Good Friday. How we love your heart for sinners despite the judgment. How we love that Jesus, the righteous one, bore our sins on the cross. How we love and just regard as so, so precious the assurance that can be ours because he bonded to us on the cross and we bond to him in faith. And so we trust in him, the complete Savior. Your mighty and precious Son. Amen.